The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm sure you know that there have been a lot of studies and books written in the last decade about the effect on our population's increased use of the internet for all sorts of things that we used to do in person or things that we used to do by hand. One such book written a few years ago is by Paul Roberts, and it's titled The Impulse Society. And it looks at the increased need that we now have for instant gratification. I didn't read the book, but I did watch Roberts' hour-long Google talk on that subject. The subject of the internet and of instant gratification. One of the things he said is that using the internet for our news and to shop and to express our views and to communicate with our friends has had the effect of incrementally shrinking our world and our world view. The more we sit in front of our screens and bring the world into us, the less engaged we actually are with the world around us. He said, imagine what it would have taken to do 25 years ago what you do now without thinking. Well, for one thing, you'd have to get up much earlier in the morning and get out your camera and take a few pictures of yourself and maybe of your breakfast or your kids getting out of bed or your cat. And then on your way to work or to school or whatever it was you were doing 25 years ago, you'd have to stop at the one-hour photo shop and, of course, get 100 copies or so of each of those. And then go on to your place of destination, wherever that was back then, and start handing out that stacks of photos to all of your friends, each time saying, "Like me? Like me? Like me?" Well, certainly you would have never done that. And if you did, what would the reaction of your friends have been to that sort of flagrant self-promotion? I mean, do that a couple of times and everyone would start running away as soon as you got close to them. But now because of the privacy and relative anonymity of internet, combined with the prevalence of all those social media things like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, everybody, that's the one thing I don't do. I don't do that one. Everybody obviously believes they're movie stars, at least based on how much we self-promote. Additionally, Robert says that we've created a new system for valuing ourselves. I mean, who doesn't go back and check how many likes they have after a Facebook posting or how many responses they get to that clever video on Instagram or YouTube? And if nobody notices or responds, I don't know about you all, but I certainly pout for a few hours. And so here we are. We're doing something that we absolutely would have disdained a couple of decades ago. And then, not only are we doing it, we're now hanging our self-worth on how much public notice we get. It's crazy. Roberts calls this a self-centered ecosystem that we create by hiding behind the cover of our computer and engaging the world in a less deferential and more impersonal nature. And of course, the other big change that internet has brought to our culture is our increased need for instant gratification. We've talked before about how that desire is not a new thing. It's just that our expectation of instant has become faster. And as a result, our patience is much less. Nobody wants to wait for anything anymore. And of course, the big time merchandisers have all figured that out and how to use that in their favor. All of the large retailers are now trying to keep up with Amazon and offering fast and free shipping to encourage us to act immediately while that desire is hot in our mind. Just think, if you had to wait until you had a chance to go to the store and fight the traffic and park and walk in, you might just decide to do without it. I'm pretty sure I buy significantly more things that I really don't need than I did when I had to plan a trip to the mall. Okay, so hurry up and get to the point, Father Paul. What does counting my likes on Facebook and loving Amazon Prime have to do with my relationship with God? Well, maybe everything. So let's look again at this parable that's in the Gospel of Matthew. This morning is the second in a series of four allegorical parables that deal with the promised return of Christ. Matthew is trying to help his disciples understand what is to come after he's not with them. They're sometimes referred to as the Advent parables because each of them are about Christ's coming. And today we meet 10 bridesmaids who are anticipating the arrival, the second arrival of Jesus, the arrival of the bridegroom. I see no notable differences in how the bridesmaids prepared for their Lord. All 10 are dressed for the feast. All 10 are excited and anxious for his arrival. All 10 go to sleep when he's delayed. And all 10 know the Lord when he's announced and rise immediately. So why are 5 of them called wise and 5 of them foolish? Well, obviously the wise ones were better prepared for the delay. They had sufficient oil to not only get through the night, but be able to rise and light their lanterns and join the Lord's feast when he came, no matter what time that was. And the foolish maids were not. The wise ones obviously brought enough oil so that when he was late, they could rise and go with him to the wedding banquet. But the foolish ones have empty lamps and miss an opportunity of a lifetime. So what to make about that? How are we to apply this example of the kingdom of heaven to our daily lives? How do we become more like the 5 wise bridesmaids and less like the foolish ones? Well, preparation and waiting seem to be two of the major themes of the story. In fact, I would say that it is all about using our time of waiting as also a time of preparation. That first generation of Christians to whom Matthew was writing were very expectant. Remember, their understanding of Jesus' last words would have had to have been that his return was imminent. Matter of days, well, maybe weeks or months, but at most a year, right? Yet nothing was happening. Their lives were as difficult, if not more difficult than ever. Expanding their flock was probably getting harder by the day because the world must have been quickly forgetting about the prophet from Nazareth named Jesus. How to pass the time until his return. How to stay faithful in his absence. Heavy questions, and they're the same questions that each generation has dealt with since then. All of us live in that in-between time, the time between the resurrection of Christ and his return in judgment. Our job is to be prepared for the wait. And to prepare knowing that it is unlikely that we will ever meet the bridegroom on this side of life. So how do we stay faithful in the face of the world's scorn? How do we remain patient while living in an impulse-driven, instant gratification world? Well, I submit that we start with this. I would say that all the extra oil that we need for our lamps is probably in here, in our Bibles. Think about that. If the goal is to be in the company of the wise and not in the company of the foolish, then learning more about Jesus, the bridegroom, is the perfect place for our wisdom to start. But more than that, because certainly I want us to spend more time in the Word, but I challenge us also to slow down and to be more patient while we wait. Turn your phones and your televisions and your computers off at night, 20 or 30 minutes before you go to bed, and use that time to explore the Word and to contemplate where God might be leading you. It's difficult enough. It's darn difficult to hear God's voice in our lives, but it's impossible to hear Him if we're constantly occupying ourselves with email, Facebook, instant messaging, Google searches, and computer gaming. I saw a recent statistic that said something like 100 minutes a day are spent by the average person on internet games. More than an hour and a half a day. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that that's wasted time. I need to tell myself that every day. I promise you that playing Warcraft, Minecraft, Candy Crush, Farm Heroes, or Spider Solitaire, none of that is helping you prepare for the return of the Lord. So turn them off a little earlier. Separate yourselves from the electronic world a little earlier each night. And really with no agenda. Just allow your mind to be led by the Spirit. Read or journal, pray. In short, prepare for the wait. The second thing that comes to mind with our internet compulsion is that as we become less connected with real people and the real world, I believe we also become less connected with God. Church, worship, faith family, those are intentionally established by Jesus and the apostles because they are the means through which we support each other in our walk of faith. I say it all the time, there's just no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We need community. We must have community to sustain and grow our relationship with God. Stay connected. Come to church. Jesus says, "You know neither the day nor the hour when I return. Therefore, be prepared to wait. Fill your lamps and your flasks with oil. Fill them with the oil of contemplation and the oil of Holy Scripture. Fill them with the oil of prayer and with the oil of community. Put down your devices and look around. Rediscover the beauty of the Father's creation. Go to the shopping mall and actually mingle with real people. And don't measure your worth by the number of likes you get on Facebook. Instead, embrace your identity as a beloved child of God. And live every day as if He will return tomorrow. Amen."